This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. One afternoon this week, I saw two patients, both in their early 20s. Both were hearing voices that others could not hear, and neither were using any recreational drugs. There are several serious psychiatric diagnoses that have visual and auditory hallucinations as a part of their presentation. For example, people with schizophrenia often report hearing voices, but so do some people with no diagnosed psychiatric disorder. It turns out that 8% of the public reports hearing voices on a regular basis, but only 1% of the population has schizophrenia. One of my patients was newly diagnosed with schizophrenia after he was picked up by the police wandering around talking to objects. He told me he was bothered by the voices, which were angry at him and told him to do things he didn't want to do. The voices were also disruptive and spoke to him at all hours of the day. The other person did not come into the doctor's office because of the voices. She came in for a rash. She described the voices she was hearing as having a positive influence on her life, and she claimed she could turn them on and off. Each day, she heard voices from a higher authority guiding her in her life choices, what has been called clairaudience. Hesitantly, as if she was sharing a deeply held secret, she told me she was a psychic and could talk to the dead and predict the future. She was scared that if she told others about the voices, they might think she had mental illness. What separates the normal from the diseased is often blurred, and in the eyes of the beholder. And if that beholder is a physician or mental health expert, they can also have a hard time separating illness from normality. This reminds me of a study that was done some 50 years ago by Dr. Rosenhan, a researcher at Stanford. He got 8 volunteers to go to hospitals in 5 states and report that they were hearing voices. Now, all were healthy volunteers. Several were even health professionals. They were all hospitalized, and they were all given antipsychotic medications. Once they were admitted, they were instructed to act completely normal and tell the staff that they no longer were experiencing any hallucinations. They had to stay until the hospital staff agreed to discharge them. It turns out that all the volunteers were forced to admit they had a mental illness and agree to take medications before they'd be discharged. The average time the person was kept in the hospital, 19 days. Once the study was published, doctors were outraged and claimed they could clearly tell a mentally ill person from someone who was not ill. So Rosenhan did another study. This time he told the hospital that over a period, he would be sending actors to the hospital and they could see how well they could detect the actors from the real patients. Well, in fact, he didn't send any actors. Still, the hospitals reported that 41 out of 193 admissions were actors. Remember, none were. I doubt that this study could be repeated today for ethical reasons, but my guess is that the results would be the same. Our diagnoses of mental illness are often imprecise, and the meaning of behaviors like auditory hallucinations can be complex. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion.